Good morning. I'm Heather, in case you don't know me. Part of the team here at COGS. So, do you feel lucky? No, this is not an advert for Betfred. Do you feel lucky? Are you someone who wakes up in the morning feeling fortunate, favoured, and approved of? Does God smile on you? Or are you a bit more like me, dragging yourself out of bed with a bit of a groan, trudging into the day, slightly hunched and muttering? Sorry, that's not a great image. You're already lucky you didn't have to encounter me at the 9:15. Now, I'm going to be speaking on the next line of the blessing that we've been looking at in the Old Testament book called Numbers. The Lord make his face shine on you. Now, don't worry if you missed the other two talks. I'm going to read out the blessing again so we all know where we are. It's often called Aaron's blessing. From Numbers 6:24, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So, do you feel lucky? Does the Lord's face shine on you before breakfast? I had a friend who went off to university an atheist. He came back a trained lawyer and a Christian. But while he was there, he met a lot of other Christians who irritated him like mad. He couldn't avoid the fact that there was something about them, and he described it as though their faces shone. Now, that sounds pretty weird, but I just wonder if we encounter the shining face of God that we might not be transformed just a little bit. When did you last look up into his eyes? Now, I don't know about you, but I certainly don't think of God's shining face. In fact, I'm much more likely to be looking down. Perhaps my shoulders are a bit tense. I'm looking at my circumstances, and I will often take that as a measure of how favored or how blessed I am or not. I can read that passage in Numbers and feel that it's not for me at all. It doesn't apply because of certain circumstances that are happening in my life. And I read this circumstantial evidence that God is not smiling at me or even really looking in my direction. The blessing and favor of God is either a fairy tale for children or it applies to God's chosen holy people, which I'm clearly not amongst. And in fact, while I'm on that thought, I know of folk who are suffering illness, bereavement, lack of work, and loss of one kind or another. And I can easily use this evidence to back up my theory that God's blessing is somehow an idea for the Old Testament people. Now, before I met Andy, I had been a single person for really quite a long time. So long, in fact, that I assumed the blessing of marriage was never going to come my way. Now, I just want to say here that I know not everyone has the opportunity to be married. And I know that singleness is an equal blessing. But it doesn't always feel like that when you're in it and you don't want to be. When I eventually met Andy and discovered that he did in fact want to marry me, that was pretty amazing. And we got on with planning our wedding day and I felt extremely blessed. That was until our vicar phoned us 4 weeks before the big day to say that the church where we'd planned to have not only the wedding ceremony but also the reception event afterwards was having building work and it wouldn't be ready in time, he suggested we postpone the wedding. I don't know if you can imagine that if you've planned a wedding recently or ever in your life, you might have some idea. 4 weeks is not long. So at this point, I felt very confused and angry at God. Yes, I unreasonably yelled at him. How could he? He knew how much this meant to me, how long I'd been waiting, and he was taking away the joy that I thought was finally mine. Typical, I thought, I don't deserve to be blessed, and now you've confirmed it. You see, I was looking down at the evidence of my circumstances and concluding that God's face was not shining on us. Now, what actually happened is an entirely different story, and you can ask me about that later if you really want to know. I wonder if you ever look down at your circumstances and conclude from the evidence that you must have been disqualified or discounted from the blessing of God. I wonder, when did you last look up into his eyes? So today is a day when we remember the persecuted church. Open Doors is reporting very significant increases in the persecution of Christians across the world. Now, if such a large number of Christ's followers are being persecuted, does that mean that God doesn't want to bless his church? Seems unlikely, doesn't it? If we choose to look at apparent and current circumstances for evidence of God's blessing, I want to suggest we are looking at the wrong evidence. The evidence that God wants to bless us is the evidence of the cross. We don't need to persuade God to bless us. It was always his idea. He made that unbelievable sacrifice of his only son so that we might be able to come closer to him, despite the dirt that clings to us. He wants us near to him, just as we are. When Jesus died, you might remember that the temple curtain was torn in two. Now, the curtain had always kept the dirty, ordinary people like you and me out of God's presence. You see, God was so incredibly holy that if you looked at him, you would die. And I'm asking you when you last looked into his face. Because when Jesus died, the curtain was torn in two. The separation ended. And God basically said, come and find me. I want to look you in the eye and tell you how amazing I made you. When we look at the cross, we can know for sure that God meant to bless us. But our understanding of what it means to be blessed and to feel his favor might need to be adjusted. So I want to tell you about a couple of new additions to the McCulloch clan. Two budgies, Pippin and Twilight. I'm sorry I don't have a photo of them for you. They're my daughter Catherine's. It was her 10th birthday present, and they are very sweet. Now, we carefully chose the two budgies she wanted. But there was a little confusion in the pet shop involving an escapee. And during the kerfuffle, we didn't realise that the Pippin we came home with wasn't quite the Pippin we thought it was. And in fact, we think he is perhaps a she. Yes, beginner's mistake number one. We have two budgies of different gender. So I had at least one sleepless night over this, believe it or not. But when I spoke to Catherine about it, she said she didn't want to traumatise either of them further because they were already forming an attachment. You can tell she's a counsellor's daughter, can't you? So she said we need to keep both of them and trust God. Now, who can argue with that? So why am I telling you this? Well, I experienced a lot of anxiety. Yeah, I know. I was extrapolating the situation into a catastrophe rather than allowing the possibility that God is in charge and maybe he's smiling. I was looking at my mistakes and assuming two things. One, that I'm solely in charge and therefore completely responsible. And two, if I can't fix it, there will be a disaster. I don't know if you ever think like that. Now, I'm quite sure that some of you have far bigger things to be anxious about than I do. And maybe you've made some significant mistakes. Maybe you feel like you actually want to hide from God's shining face. We can all look at our mistakes and assume that we're responsible for all the outcomes or the consequences if you're a parent. And we never consider the possibility of God's intention to love us anyway. We can be in a position of longing for his face, but hiding from it. Do you ever feel you've messed up too much to reflect the Lord's glory? Now, there are a couple of key advantages to gazing into God's face. One, it takes our eyes off ourselves. And two, it is transformative. Whoever we are, we can be transformed by coming face to face with God. So my first suggestion was that if we choose to look at apparent and current circumstances for the evidence of God's favor, we are looking at the wrong evidence and we need to look at the cross. I want to make a second suggestion. God's blessing is not contingent on us or our mistakes. We are not disqualified. We don't need to strive to please him or complete any rituals. We simply need to look him in the eyes. And that means we need to understand how much we need his face. And then we need to seek him with all our heart, knowing that he's in fact pursuing us right now. My third suggestion is that when God blesses us, it doesn't necessarily materially alter our situation, but it does materially change our heart. It is transformative. Okay, well, you may well ask, if it doesn't change anything and anyone can have it, what is the point and how do I know if I am blessed? Well, let's read that line again. The Lord's face shine on you. What is the shining of the Lord's face? Well, I believe it's something like the affirming, loving attention of the Heavenly Father who knows us completely and loves us anyway. I'm guessing most of us have no idea what that feels like. For one reason or another, our earthly dads and mums didn't always do the best job of affirming, loving attention with no strings attached. And this is not a criticism. I'm a parent as well, and I count myself in there. As a result, we may be left with a gaping hole in our inner being. And so we go looking for that affirmation in any place we can find it. My first real job after uni was in a small architect's practice in North London. I worked hard to please my boss for nearly 10 years. I loved my job, but mostly I loved to be appreciated and affirmed when I did a good job. For me, this is where I went to fill my hole. Now, maybe you go to other places, but I'm guessing you understand what I mean. For me, the affirmation and approval of another person was worth working for. I found it incredibly hard to leave that job, but in the end I did, because I realised that the approval of my Heavenly Father was worth the most, and he'd shown me it was time to move on. So, God's blessing's not dependent on anything we can do. God's blessing might not change our difficult situations. God sometimes chooses to walk with us in the battle rather than rescuing us from it. The evidence that God intends to bless us is not the evidence of our circumstances, but the evidence of the cross. And finally, I want to suggest the blessing of God might look different from what we expect. A good friend of mine was walking the Camino de Santiago de Compostela, the Way of St. James, in Spain. Now, if you're much of a walker, you'll probably have heard of this pilgrimage. And you will also know what it is to need the toilet on a long walk. Now, my friend was enjoying a stunning day on the Camino. She was alone in the middle of nowhere. And yet she had a small comfort requirement to make her joy complete. She prayed for a convenience. And right beside the road, around the bend, appeared a small brick building containing nothing but a toilet, hot water, soap, and a towel. You see, the blessing of God does not always look like we expect. Perhaps when we talk about the touch of the Holy Spirit, we can sometimes be a bit overly holy or spiritual. But often God blesses us with his presence in what may feel like very ordinary ways. We don't have to get pinned to the floor or overcome with emotion to know that we have met with God. Simon spoke of the feeling of wholeness, of homecoming, contentment and peace. When did you last look into God's eyes? What colour are they? We as a family are also in a very present battle, as many of you also are. Does it look like we're winning? No, I don't think it does, not yet. Do we expect God to bless us? Absolutely we do. Will that blessing look like we hope it will? Probably not. But we can still look up into his eyes and experience his transforming approval for who he made us, mistakes and all. Now, one of my favourite verses is 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. I'm going to read it in the paraphrase message version. Nothing between us and God. Our faces shining with the brightness of his face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. I wonder if we can allow ourselves to become aware of the shining face of the Lord gazing at us right now as we sit here and allow him to speak his words of affirmation over us. God says, seek his face. Why don't we do that right now? If you'd like to close your eyes just for a moment as you are. Can you imagine the incredible feeling of your loving Heavenly Father gazing at you with his full and undivided attention and speaking words that affirm you just because you are his and he made you? Can you imagine carrying on in the challenging and difficult situations you face because you know that God is with you and he made you with his purpose in mind? He walks with you, he's put his spirit in you, and he is pleased with you. When you go home this morning, can you set a reminder in your phone, your device, your diary, to spend some time this week simply in God's presence, looking up into his eyes? See if you can tell what colour they are. Now, there's just one more thing I want to say. We're designed to reflect the Lord's glory, a bit like those Christians my friend encountered at university. Phil Wickham expresses it really well in his beautiful song, Sun and Moon, and these are a few words from the song. I want to be more like you. If you are the sun, I want to be the moon. I want to reflect the light that comes from you. As Simon said on week one of our series, we are blessed in order to be a blessing. So after you've spent some time looking up into the Father's eyes this week, think of one person whom you could reflect that love to. It could be your children, your spouse, a friend, a colleague, or a stranger. Can you give another person your full attention and affirm them for who God made them to be? No strings. And if this person doesn't know God, you could introduce him at the same time.
Thank you, Heather.